to the third episode of the Conquistador.
Number three!
Woo! It's April 9th, 2009. And we're back on video. This time officially courtesy of Uvu. Before it was Beta Uvu.
Uvu. Thank you, Uvu.
Now, yeah, Uvu has now given us an account. So they're the official and only sponsor of the show we have right now.
Yeah.
And we gotta say we're working on figuring out the size thing going
yes,
on.
There's some,
we don't think there's favoritism towards Oakland, but we don't know. Here
yeah, it might be that they made me bigger because I'm prettier. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I don't think that's it. I don't know who's determining pretty.
It might be because you have a super account though. That's our theory, right?
Yeah, that's our theory.
It's either that or
yeah. We'll figure it out.
Microsoft give a brief description of your encounter with the folks at Uvu.
Well, I was at the Web 2.0 Expo, and I went over and I said, "Hey, we used Uvu for the first podcast, and we really liked at least what we got because we couldn't find anything else that would let us record more than."
It was the only thing that did it. Yeah, it was the only thing.
It's
that
got the market quarter
to do.
More than two people in video, and they'll do up to six people in video, and then six more people on phones or audio at a time.
That is so cool.
You remember how much audio, video conferencing equipment used to cost? I was supported a DSL based, not DSL, excuse me, ISDN based, dedicated video conferencing system that was at that GNB battery when I worked for EDS.
That
thing was like connected to Japan and they had other sites that had similar dedicated systems. Those things were super expensive and super expensive every month to run.
And they were video?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
It was like a big boardroom. It was a specific camera, a big TV, like a big tube TV with a camera on top of it.
And see, this is the tail end of the sort of where communications that we were talking about, sort of what the last ten years would be like, the communication have been like, and what it was like ten years ago. So 1999, how things were, and there was like some people had cell phones. Like I think it was determined that Matt did. I didn't have one until the next year, or maybe even 2001. I think it was 2000 when I got one.
Well, the question is it the time period that I had a cell phone and a pager, or is it the time that I just had it? I think it may have been a time when I still had a pager because cell phones were so expensive that you had to be important enough for me to call me, like send me a message on my pager, and then I would check it. And then I would call you back because I'm not going to leave my phone on because I'm going to just take them random incoming calls on my cell phone because it was so expensive.
Or if you're really cool, you get a Sky Pager. Remember those?
I actually had
Sky Pager.
I think I looked at that program back when I had a 1-800 number, I think.
Right. Sky Pager was the first to do that, and they were like nationwide covers and all that stuff.
And Q-Tip sang about it.
Right. And Sir Mix-a-Lot. Sir Mix-a-Lot
was it
a song?
Page?
No. The Sir Mix-a-Lot song, the chorus of the song that he said over and over in it was his Sky Pager number. He was like trying to get people to leave as many messages as he could. No, it was Candyman. It wasn't Sir Mix-a-Lot. Sorry, it was Candyman. It was the same guy that did Knockin' Boots.
You love me so. Never ever gonna let you go.
That guy.
He's on a fucking Burger King commercial right now, by the way.
Candyman?
Are you kidding me? Are you really?
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Oh, no, I saw that. Okay. That's messed up because it's a SpongeBob. It's like a kid's commercial. It's inappropriate.
It's really weird.
No, it's a SpongeBob, like, kids' meal commercial.
They talk about butts the whole time.
Yeah. They have square butts. Pretty funny. They say square butts. Yeah. It's like SpongeBob.
At the end of the commercial, he says, man, booty is booty.
Yeah.
He's talking about kids' meal.
What?
Yeah. It's like
even kids'
meal.
Booty, I guess? Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Or square
That's
booty
not
or
cool,
whatever.
Dude.
So speaking of square booty, we should just scroll into the tech side of things. You talked a little bit about 2.0 Expo.
A little bit more about the Web 2.0 Expo. I got a free thing that Techzilla posted on there and on Twitter. hey, come and see us do record a live show. Technical is part one, a Revision 3 show.
Yes.
And so I went, got to go to the floor for free, you know, look at the booths and things. And
nice.
That's where nice. I talked to Uvu and told them how we'd used Uvu before and how I wanted to use it. And they were like, okay, we'll see what we can do. So that's how they've sponsored the show now, is through that. But did I just say that exact thing before? I'm just trying to remember if I said it exactly that way before. Because I was like, wait a second.
I'm going to take a drink from my Uvu.
I'm
going to
be rapping about Uvu. Right, exactly. That's fine.
But it was a really interesting to see the show recording and to talk to – I met Patrick Norton and Veronica Belmont, who is at Veronica on Twitter. Paul follows her.
Twitter.
And I don't think – she did the show?
Oh, yeah. No, I totally know. Okay, I didn't know. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
You watch any of the Revision 3 shows?
Yes, taking a sip from your eBay glass of water.
Yeah, you see that?
Matt's looking for another sponsor already.
People lined up for these. I waited till it was the end of them. I got my free beer from IBM at the Web 2.0 Expo.
Was it really IBM, though, or was it Lenovo?
No, it was IBM.
I love the free beer in the recession. I think that's great.
Yeah, it's good for you.
But well, liquor sales are actually up. I mean, that's how you really know that it's
and pornography and drugs. I think too.
Right.
And yeah, people were going dead because they were on the decrease, right?
And they were saying dessert places, like dessert restaurants, are doing okay in some places too. They're doing better. Just up cake and shit like that because
men's underwear sales are down, and that was one of Alan Greenspan's big indicators, I guess.
What the heck is that?
Men's underwear. I think it means some weird shit about Alan Greenspan, maybe.
Yeah, right.
He really likes men's underwear.
Yeah.
What's this?
Google and Common Sense versus Associated Press.
Yeah. All right. The API, what is it? It's the feed. It's the AP, I guess, right? They are.
Associated Press.
They were all upset about the way they're linking and they're trying to sue them. And everything they do is under fair use. They're trying to go, and they eventually go after everybody.
You know what?
They
don't... Well, the AP is also going after Shepard Fairey on that Obama thing too, which is basically also fair use when you really get down to it.
Yeah, it really is.
And they have real problems with.
I don't know what their problem. Yeah,
and the problem
acting like a label
in the
digital world.
Yeah,
right, and especially
it's just another
that Shepard Fairey thing. They don't even own that image. The photographer actually does. So it's like they have big problems with.
Well,
with
and
all
it's
that
totally
stuff.
Fair use. It's completely fair use. It falls under like two different
doctrines. Yeah, exactly.
There's the as a factual event, it not trying to be an artistic thing, you know, like a journalistic thing that that has different protections than. Yeah, it's
like the Dallas Morning News way back when used to have this big problem with people going deep linking, like linking directly to articles,
right,
and it's like, what? Come
get
on,
get over it.
Do
you want traffic
on,
or not?
Yeah,
just put
it.
Ads on the pages.
Right.
Get over it.
Right.
That's why New York Times did what they did. Like they were like, it's not worth it.
Right.
For fuck's sake, why are we talking about this and like the people, like company after company?
Why are there still
companies in the
21st
century marketplace? Don't get it. I don't understand.
Yeah.
What are they getting paid for?
Right.
Well, it's people who they think they know how it works, and that's not how it works right now, and they keep fighting like it's how it works.
Yeah.
Well, they think their content is so special, and the problem is. If your content is special, you have to. Yeah. Well, and even if it is, you have to get people to see it, and people will not. Pay
you gotta listen to that or watch that Trent Reznor interview that was on Dig. It's linked in the show notes. But he at one point he talks about that. He's about how some promoter I think it was telling him like, hey, when you go to the show, let's give away the EP to people. And he's like, why? It's like if they want it, they already have it. He's like, in the world that this is, like, the music is out there. Like, as soon as one person has it, everybody can have it. And I'm not going to – I want to do special stuff. And, like, why would I even bother? Like, why don't I put money into other promotion stuff? Like,
yeah, right. this makes no sense to spend money to do this now in this day and age. Absolutely.
Right. It's, I don't know. So you're fighting this, and especially AP's fighting it.
Sponsorships.
Yeah.
But as the, oh, did you see the Sprint commercial that had the Twitter stuff in it?
No, I didn't. It's funny.
They were talking about that, like, on our network right now, this many people are sending this many emails, and this many people are talking to having this many phone calls and this many text messages. And it said, and right now, 226 people are sending Twitter message, or however many people are sending Twitter message. 76% of you don't know what that is, or 26% of you don't know what that is, or something. And then they moved on, and it was the, I guess, the first time that Twitter has shown up in a commercial, like mentioned in a commercial.
Oh, gee, oh.
Like as a thing, wow. Like as a...
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. It's like...
But speaking of that, speaking of that, there are a bunch of new things that came out. Like FriendFeed is doing the real-time feeds now. If you look, I don't know if you've used FriendFeed much. It's pretty interesting. You should check it out. You can add so much as or as little as you want from other sources of your information. So, like, if you subscribe to my friend feed, it would have my Netflix stuff and my Facebook stuff and my Twitter in it or whatever.
All your social stuff in one place.
Right, but you can build filters like to what would be on the real time thing, and it scrolls kind of like Twitter or something.
Absolutely.
So they're doing that, but then Facebook just read that remake where they kind of look like Twitter too.
Right. Well, everybody's all about updates now. Updates are the new cool thing.
Well, updates have replaced like threads. Or like
And along those same lines,
the big deal and conversation threads.
Along those same lines, there's a whole bunch of new Twitter apps that are out right now. Twitter Deck, which actually has Facebook support in it, which is pretty cool now. So you can have a little panel, a little column in Twitter Deck that is that's dedicated to Facebook updates. You get that little stream over there, which is kind of cool. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Twirl. I think Seismic Desktop is the reincarnation of Twirl. But I'm not sure.
It's made by the same folks.
But it's a different thing. Okay, yeah. But Seismic Desktop is pretty cool. It takes up a little less desktop space as Twitter Desk does. It's a desk like six times in there.
Yeah, Twitter Deck,
When Twitter Deck does. And then Nambu, which I played with just a little bit today, is an OS X only free Twitter client that people said they've been digging. But I kind of like having TweetDeck because it's the Air app and it can be the same thing on my Mac and my Windows machine. And I don't have to get into anything different.
Twidget, Matt?
Is that a...
I think that's what Brian uses, Twidget. I think that's what all his tweets look like. They're posted with that.
Does he post them through some proxy that he set up or something, or
is it? I thought it was just.
I don't think it's that.
Oh, is it a widget in OS X?
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, widget. I bet that's what it is.
So he's posting from OS X. He goes to the widget thing and posts, and then goes out. So that's
widget.
That makes sense.
I think so.
That's what I'm guessing. But also, I've installed this week Pigeon, which Pigeon supports like every IM protocol, everything that's out there. Which is nice if you like have to contact. You can do Facebook, you can do MySpace, you can do Google Talk, and Twitter, and
it's crazy.
Is it like now that what was the trillion? Is that kind of like the Alta Vista of this whole game?
Well, on top of that, I just downloaded the beta of a new trillion.
Oh, how is the new trillion?
It looks
cool. I
remember
them from way back.
I had a beta of Trillion before they ever sold anything. To where when they went pro, they gave me a pro license back in the day. Like, that's how long
ago
I
used
Trillion.
For ages.
I love Trillion.
Right,
I loved it. If you had to, like, talk to people on ICQ, which is what we used back then, for personal stuff,
right?
ICQ and then maybe MSN for work or
MSN,
something.
Right.
Yeah, it was all about...
And then there were some people on Yahoo eventually,
so you'd
I used Trillion for a while, too, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it's pretty much an open beta right now. So if you go look for it, it's out there. You can get it and get that for free right now. It's worth playing. I don't know. Right. I like testing this stuff out. I like playing with it. I don't need 15 different applications that do the same thing, but every once in a while.
Of course.
Pigeon's nice, you know, because it's cross-platform. It runs on Linux and Windows, a whole bunch of different distributions, different OSs. So it's nice, again, to have that universal thing. But that's why I really dig Air apps for that reason.
Right.
What's Java
not nice is, is Java. It kind of puffs balls, and IBM's not interested in buying them anymore. And
buying their stock at all.
Price is falling.
Well, what it was is that so they made an offer, and the president took it, and the CEO turned or the founder turned it down because he doesn't really like Microsoft.
He stepped That's in funny. And smacked on it, huh?
So then IBM was like, "Well, whatever, we'll go away and probably fall apart."
All right.
I heard a tweet that they were talking about. Well, what if Apple bought? It would almost make sense for them to buy it for like the server market, so they could. But that's not really what they do.
Yeah,
obviously, it's such a weak company that it doesn't make a lot of sense for anybody to buy it.
Except
for the technology. They make those Xserve servers that are super expensive.
How do they sell? Seriously, I'm dying to know.
If you're a big production
that can't
house,
be a big market.
Like a big video production house or something. I think people buy a lot of those. Like in certain markets. I'm just saying some people do.
But we were talking about earlier in the week about how it's kind of ironic considering the place Sun Microsystems had in the whole PC inception because
they
were cheaper.
For a while.
Right.
And because you could get it down to a personal computer level by,
and anybody can make the hardware.
Equipment.
Right.
Yeah, but that doesn't seem to be their bag anymore per se.
Nah.
And it's totally in what you're talking about, these really expensive systems.
Well, you can get a system
right.
for anything right now on the PC side, for sure.
Sure.
And then on the Mac, you have very limited number of choices on a Mac side.
Right.
That's what those commercials kind of make fun of. But Paul, are you upset with Flash CS4?
Well. There's a whole thing in the CS4, quote unquote family, where they've got these really kind of grabby, clingy dot palette things. And in Flash, for an old school guy like me, it just gets out of control pretty quick because
you're accidentally grabbing panels. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's like I just want to move like the scripting window over, and suddenly it's like clinged on to my timeline and like turned into a tab. And is like sharing the space with it, and it's like, no, I still need to see my timeline. I want that just floating over
here. It does some weird,
here,
like
or
they
something.
Combine themselves into Windows thing.
Yes, yeah,
yes.
Yeah, like a whole bunch. It just gets a little bit old, and it does weird stuff too. Like, I'm a big fan of control enter or command enter on the Mac for test movie. If you do that when you have the script window open, I've seen it will have your Swift push halfway down within the window when it comes up. So it's like, okay, I can't see half of my work. And then you close the actions panel and then you do it again and you see it all. And it's like, what is wrong with this thing?
Is this like iMovie 08 syndrome or whatever, where they... designer that changed stuff, and
I think they just kind of borked the interface on this one, and it makes me scared because I think they're cranking these versions out too fast anymore, and it used to be like a couple years at least. I think they're on an 18 month cycle since CS3. It's like who needs a whole new, you know, a whole new kit of stuff in 18
months. Was it them
months.
Fixing stuff though to some extent too, or no?
Well. I think, I'm sure in some cases, yeah, but in this case, I kind of think they broke some stuff. You know, honestly, it's like I sort of really miss working in CS3 in a lot of ways, but whatever. I'm a fogey in this game. Yeah, in a lot of ways I can. I mean, it's funny though, because that one wasn't free. We've got CS4, obviously, from the university for anybody that's a student or anything else for free, so.
Didn't you already have CS3 though?
Yeah, I do. I do have CS3, so I'm in good shape either way, obviously. But
right.
it's very, very strange, and it hasn't happened in a while. I've been loving Adobe's takeover of the macromedia side of things since it happened. But so yeah, and we've talked about communication, right, from 10 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah, we did. There's too many methods.
Nobody's using. Nobody's
hyper out of control.
We have never faxed each other.
No, we haven't.
We never faxed each other.
I hate fax machines. I really hate them.
We have never used CB radios.
I've used CB radios, but not with each other. We've probably used walkie-talkies at some point or another, Paul.
Yeah, you and I have, absolutely.
You ever used a CB? Did you ever have a CB, Matt?
Why, my grandparents had
I've
one.
Used a CB.
And they would use it. My grandpa's van had one in it, and my grandparents had one.
They had it back in the 70s, didn't they?
They had a big tower.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, when they were huge and badass, like
all the cool kids had them on their fucking cars and shit.
Instead of an iPod or cell phone.
they had
a CB. That's right.
CB and your
tracker, right?
GM and Segway, and announced and showed this weird, bizarre two-wheel balancing vehicle. They make a point to point out that it self-balances, but the whole idea is like if you have four wheels. You don't need to make the robot computer in it that self-balances.
Yeah.
It looks like a bike trailer.
It does kind of like a bike trailer.
It looks like big paramedics will be pulling them off of people.
And giving somebody some golf clubs.
Yeah.
It's like really a really strange little vehicle. And Matt's point earlier was a good one that the Segway was having problems because you can't drive the damn thing anywhere, really, legally.
Right. Right. They're, like, outlawing them in so many cities now.
As soon as they came out, that happened. Because, think about it. Would you want that on the sidewalk? No. And you don't.
On the Segway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only place you see them. Right. That and, like, security guards or, like, people in parks departments and things.
There's a dude that lives around here that has a Segway.
On campuses.
Do you want to punch him every time you see him?
On college campuses.
He just looks really strange.
Those things are like $4,000 or $5,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I get really nice bike for that and go faster than you. on the street.
So what's GM's involvement in this thing? What is GM doing?
I don't know. I think their involvement from one of the articles that I read is it sounds like they're BS spin. Because they said it's going to wirelessly navigate around traffic congestion.
What? That doesn't make any fucking sense.
What?
No, it's just, and it's coming out in they hope by 2012 it'll come out, and it'll be 1/4 to 1/5 the cost of a normal automobile. And it's like, it's a bike trailer. It better be a lot less than a quarter of the cost of a normal automobile.
Yeah, no kidding.
It can cost me $5,000 for a bike trailer. Man, I can get a really nice bike. Or a motorcycle, or for $5,000, I could get an electric motorcycle. And the other thing that I thought was really great is not only does it only go 35 miles an hour, but it only lasts for 35 miles.
Right, right.
So you can use it for an hour, and then what do you do?
Real handy.
I guess you can hook on the back of your bike and pull it home.
Push it. What are you doing? I'm getting my exercise.
This other rail pod thing that's kind of strange as well.
Yeah, and I saw another reference to this somewhere that had a little video link that was kind of weird. But it's basically the idea is it's a little car that self-balances that two people can fit in, and they use each direction, basically, of the rail. And then they can also cluster together and break off and go intelligent directions or whatever in rail systems. But it's sort of like everything's rendered. It's like this kind of
it's just a concept,
high in the sky idea as a concept, basically, that somebody's trying to sell. But somebody's actually, I think, worked out the mechanism to make the thing balance on a single rail, which is pretty
crazy.
Why
is it a big deal for it to balance on a single rail?
Well, I don't know. I mean, just you think
is
about
that train...
Sure, but a
and
really
Disney World had that
tiny
for like 40, 50 years or something.
Homer Simpson tried to sell those.
Yeah, that's the best. Simpsons. That's the best episode. I love that one.
The Simpsons,
the monorail. Yeah, the Springfield monorail.
Springfield's getting a monorail.
So, what's the YouTube link? the weird little thing.
That was a link to the Puma, this GM vehicle.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah. So we got the video to that strange Segway-ish thing that doesn't make any sense.
It's the Honda scooter of 2009, man.
Honda scooter makes sense.
Yeah.
Compared to this. But I don't think you have any ads for this.
Kalpin takes a job with the White House. Who's Kalpin?
Kalpin is Kumar of Harold and Kumar.
Oh shit! What's he doing? What's his post?
He is media and Asian American liaison, cultural liaison, or something.
Wow! Interesting.
And he's not. He said, "Yep, I'm not doing those movies anymore." The last one he did.
Guantanamo Bay.
Have you seen it? You should totally watch it now. It has
something to do with a bong, doesn't it?
Well, they smoke weed with President Bush in the movie. Like it's funny. It's really hilarious. This guy is actually working for the White House now.
Yeah, there's somebody from one of the kids that Maggie teaches at university's mom is. Has some post in his administration. It sounded really kind of obscure, but she's totally going to Washington. Yeah,
there's a few IU folk actually that are. I think there's somebody in the Justice Department from IU faculty or something like that.
Maybe that's her because universities a lot of universities. Anyway. So, Democrat won Rahm Emanuel's Illinois congressional seat.
Right.
It's pretty cool. I mean, was that in jeopardy of not happening?
I was going to say, I mean, you got to really wonder, especially in Illinois.
Is it possible for the Democrat to not win?
Northern Illinois, right, exactly. Chicago, that's a Chicago, like, area. County, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. He seems like a pretty Chicago dude.
Yeah. And then this crazy Somali pirates take this American ship and they're holding the whole
it's
crew.
It's American run Dutch owned ship.
Dutch owned ship, you're right. American crew, right.
Did you guys see the headline that the like Americans had taken control of the ship again. I saw that a few times, and about an hour later, I didn't see it anymore. I don't know. I didn't see it anymore. And
it's
then
a camera phone video.
Who knows? Maybe they're trying to psych out the pirates.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know. Put it on MySpace. The pirates are on MySpace.
Yeah. They'll totally be checking their cell phones.
On Facebook. Yeah, right. Twitter the captain.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. I saw on C-SPAN they were answering questions about it at the State Department.
Well, it's also interesting, too, because I saw an article about how it's all, you know, financial reasons.
They're pirates, man. That's what pirates are pirates right. for financial
well,
reasons.
Of course. I mean, we talk about unemployment hitting 8% in this country. It's like, what's unemployment in Somalia? You know what I mean? And it's like,
right.
this is
and who doesn't
like
want to be a pirate somewhere in their heart?
I guess so. But what those first guys that took that really big like shipping container? I mean, they were like, man, they had to go. They were getting hungry after a while because they ran out of food and stuff. That was not good. That's
speaking
not
of food. That's right what there. Was on this. That's what was on this vessel. It's food. It's food delivered.
That was
like,
aid.
Aid for I forget what African country, but
well, it's just the same thing that it's always happened. In Somalia is you control the food. You can the warlords would always do that.
There may have been Bibles in those boxes too with the food, but
of course, that's right.
Whatever. So
we go from pirates in Somalia to
Indian
elections are coming up.
Indian elections, yep. That's right.
And Google has a, like some coverage. At least that's what the link in the show notes are. I don't know a lot of details about it other than that it's a big deal for their government right now. And they're really, like, that could really shake up a part of the world depending upon what happens.
Yeah. I think they're kind of right of, I mean, our politics, they're sort of left of center, I think, with who just got in this last time. So
right.
It could go in a much more conservative way, especially since the Mumbai attacks, et cetera, et cetera.
That's what it's all about.
Right, exactly. But then it's like what happens with Pakistan and what, you know.
Right.
That's the
I mean, it's a powder keg. That part of the world is where shit's gonna like really go down when shit starts to really go down. I don't see how it's not. It's not gonna be Iran. Well, it's not gonna be fucking North Korea. It's gonna be Pakistan and Afghanistan.
Pakistan and India. We're like, okay, you're allowed to have nuclear weapons. Kind of, you're in a secret club.
Yeah, they all have their handshake.
Listen to this. I mean, one of the most recent quotes, senior BJP leader LK Advani on Tuesday assured of security of life and livelihood for the people besides good governance if BJP is voted into power. Yeah, they're all going to be going on security. It's all going to be an anti-terrorism thing. So, yeah.
Oh, they're upset, man. I mean, they're freaked out. It's not new either. They've been going through this stuff for a long time. Depending upon where you're in India.
But Mumbai was so organized and so blatant, and then the Kashmir thing has just never died down, and it's constant. It's another one of these areas, part two. Right.
It's all those areas were cut up into countries. They weren't countries before.
Right.
Before colonization, basically. Not like the way they are now. They were sliced up and turned into countries, and why don't they work out? Why isn't Iraq happy?
Yeah.
Well, it's because you just took a bunch of people and kind of clumped them into a country and said, hey, you guys are like in a country, okay?
you guys want to be a country? You're a country.
Right, but along the country, talking to different countries, so we're talking to Iran?
Yeah. Yes. We're saying we're going to, and we're going to have direct talks with them. But we're still against their actually it's kind of shady if we are against reconstituting uranium, because Obama really hasn't said anything about it, but he has said that if Iran wants to use nuclear power for peaceful purposes, then that's fine, but they'd have to be willing to let inspectors inspect vigorously. And the big deal is, so I mean, who knows if they'll do it or not, but they're basically starting totally like bilateral. Well, it's not bilateral, but I think it's the something five or the something six are
six-way
U.S. And Iran will be there together talking to each other, and that's a large shift.
Well, that's. I think that's making good on yet another promise. That's also about, you know, he went to Turkey, to a Muslim nation, and it's, you know, letting his first.
It said we are not a Christian country.
Yeah, exactly. Which drew a lot of criticism from people, you know, Christians.
People in stupid town.
Bring it on. Nowhere in any of our founding documentation does it say that we are.
Oh, it does say God and all that. It is in the stuff. It is there. But
God, but not Jesus. So that does not make us Christian,
like
does it?
God's like on purpose ambiguous.
Right.
Right.
A lot of times. Like
so,
God.
Yeah, that Christian thing gets real hard to argue when they don't ever mention Jesus.
Speaking of Christians, Vermont, first state to legalize gay marriage via legislation. Fourth state overall, including
they overturned the governor's veto.
Right.
It was like 100. They had to get a majority, some certain majority, and they got it. Like, it's the first time in 20 years.
Democracy.
So cool. Yeah,
that the governor's veto has been overturned. Because they passed it, and the governor was like, well, dude, I'm not going to veto it. And they're like, all right, well, cool, we will unveto it.
We will overturn that veto.
Because it's way more of us, and it's just, you're just a dude.
Speaking of overturning stuff, Obama's already overturned a bunch of stuff in his first few days of office, including he's laxed stem cell restrictions, Guantanamo Bay, prison is going to close, no more stop-loss policies in the military. Waterboarding apparently is now torture, which is cool. Cutting military budget. He was in the Prague speech, he was talking openly about banning nuclear weapons, which was followed by him saying, it's not going to happen in my lifetime, but for a United States president that we need to get rid of them and that they're going to pull, you have to start somewhere, you know?
Right.
I think it's really cool, but you gotta watch the Daily Show episode where he compared it to the speech that Superman gives in Superman 4.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen Superman 4, I don't think.
The nuclear guy.
Where he's like, I'm in a world with no nuclear weapons, and he takes all the missiles and throws them in the sun, I think. That's the only thing that happens. Jeez.
So, lots of really cool music stuff going on lately. Chuck D being in Bloomington on this past Saturday is probably the most recent one. He spoke at the Neil Marshall Cultural Center here.
Where's that? Where on campus is that?
It is right behind the auditorium. It's the...
Oh, it's where they tore down what was the African-American Cultural Center and built a new one.
It's the new African-American Cultural Center. And he spoke there as part of a symposium. He does what he describes as conversations because he doesn't really stick to any one topic. He just, like, my favorite example is he brought up Soulja Boy, interrupted himself getting into his soliloquy about Soulja Boy by somehow comparing him to New Orleans Katrina. And then by way of that, got into the history of New Orleans and the Mississippi River and how it was used to move slaves. And slavery, and then brought that all back around to Soulja Boy and his place in hip hop right now, which was pretty hilarious. But I mean,
so he's a big fan of Soulja Boy, is that what you're saying?
No. He was basically, a lot of people are, he's the most popular rapper, but most real hip hop folks obviously are not fans at all, including Chuck. And then the whole point being that it's like, you know, it's everything's strayed so far off that it's all like sipping Kool-Aid, you know.
Yeah,
a lot of people say that this is like the glam metal phase right now of hip hop.
Right.
You know, if you had to make a comparison to rock and roll. But yeah, it was great seeing him. He gave me a shout out from like during the lecture, from recognizing me from Rhythm, this group that I was in back in the early to mid 90s. I gave a link here to Zbox, which has a sort of an archive of some of our stuff from way back when. But that was really cool, and it's always really, really great to see him. He's a kind of an awesome guy, and really just down to earth human being. Did a book signing afterwards. Bought a copy of his book, which I did not have, and got that signed as well.
Cool.
So all around good stuff. Josh went over there as well.
I had some fried chicken and like food and shit. Like baked potatoes and bagels and orange juice.
Right. So I also have a shout out recorded from when I saw them. I saw a Bomb Squad panel in August. So that's coming in a mix CD very soon. All of that, that will be celebrating 20 years in, the hip hop game for Public Enemy and actually 20 years DJing for myself. And that's actually a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I did. We're catching up here. So anyway, other cool stuff was going on in Bloomington, which Josh can pick up on, because I did not get to the Dead Prez show, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was a pretty good show. That was actually during African American Month, I think.
That's right. That was February.
Same organization put all three of these events together that we're talking about. And so yep. A few days after the Dead Prez show, Cornell West, IU Auditorium, I am currently reading his book that I got there. And it pretty much blows my mind. And speaking of, on the hip-hop tip a little bit, the Roots Picnic, I saw the line.
Oh, yes.
I can't remember who all was in it, but it did look pretty good.
It is very quick. The Roots, TV on the Radio, Black Keys, Santa Gold, Asher Roth, and more. Featuring a special performance by... Featuring really a special loud. Performance by Public really Enemy.
What is?
Featuring a... I can't hear it at all, actually.
No, it's just in my headphones. I put it on.
Oh, gotcha.
On my side, I just went to sight.
Special performance by Public Enemy, who will perform and takes a nation of millions to hold us back. Backed by Antibolus and The Roots.
Oh, that's awesome.
Doing that whole nation of millions set, yeah. Matt.
It doesn't even matter who else is playing then.
That's
with
cool.
Antibolus and The Roots. Right. Well, so, yeah, it's in Philadelphia. Festival of Fear. I really want
to
go.
Why don't I cost you to fly?
I'm hoping. I don't know. I'm going to check into that. I wouldn't be...
Well, it's not much of a drive. I can't drive there from here.
Oh, sure. For you? Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not going to drive there.
You could.
I want to see if I can...
Well, I'd have to rent a car.
Yeah, I would... Yeah. I'm totally going to probably work the driving angle if I can. But, yeah. Looks like a really good time. Looks like a really great lineup, too.
Cool, no, really neat.
Of folks. What else we got going on?
Beatles, digitally remastered.
I would have thought this happened a long time ago, but I guess not. I guess they didn't go back and remaster it. They just took it from tapes.
They were always taking it from the...
I mean, the anthology I thought was remastered, wasn't it? Love was remastered.
That Love thing was, absolutely.
Right,
well,
they've been doing stuff
George
in 5-1.
Martin has touched, right, has been remastered.
Right, but they didn't. The albums themselves hadn't been.
Right.
Which is weird. I thought they had.
Oh, I see.
And they're still not on iTunes.
No, yeah, they're just taking the analog masters, I guess.
Oh, did you see that?
CDs,
speaking in music, do you see that iTunes is doing, everything is DRM-free now.
Right.
But they're doing variable pricing. This was $69.99 and $1.29. I'm thinking those are the price points. And like almost everything that's new is $1.29. And then about everything else is $0.99, and then hardly anything is $0.69.
Interesting.
So really, basically, prices effectively probably went up for almost everybody.
Cool, went up.
Yeah. It's $1.29 for a track. For a new track.
It's recession, dude. You know, it's more expensive to make an MP3 now, Matt. It costs more. Those production costs on those files, man, oh my God, you would not believe. It is really hard. MP3 factories, they got them working all night.
You know, the one thing it does is it gets rid of that stupid thing where, you know, people who would, like, their hard drive would fail on their Mac, and they'd take their iPod and it had all their music on it, and they'd go plug it into somebody else's Mac, and it would erase all their music off of their iPod.
And they get freaked out, yeah.
Because that was like the default behavior. Like it would like oh, right. I'm syncing. It's like, oh, nothing's there. I will sync all this stuff off, and then
no!
nobody had anything. It would get rid of that.
Yeah, right.
If it doesn't have DRM on, it shouldn't matter what it's on. It shouldn't.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So this Lady Sob sort of stuff you have here, all of it looks like you don't really like it, right?
I listened to the album today, and there's only a couple songs. It's nearly as interesting as the other ones. I just thought I'd mention it because I dug the other albums, and you know, just
yeah. I felt that way about the last. Like I've heard like a track or two that I like, but by and large, like I haven't been. I think I felt like it was sort of gonna be like MIA maybe.
Yeah. That's kind of.
I like the other ones. It got weirder and more produced now.
Yeah.
But she didn't get any better at writing rhymes or anything.
No, exactly.
So it seems like a whole different story, because before it felt like this. Oh, it's not that polished, but it's kind of cool because it's not out of the U.S. It's
right.
I don't know, interesting. Right. It was fun. So the stuff was catchy. It was
great novelty. Honestly, is what I took it as, and maybe. I think it ended up kind of being that a little bit, which it happens. Not to say she couldn't go somewhere, but I don't feel like she's not MIA. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like MIA is an artist on a lot of levels that is like, proven and done in a lot of things.
Well, not everybody has to be MIA.
Gram it. No. I'm just saying, like when you make that comparison that with anybody, it's like it kind of sucks. But for for Sov, I think she's more like a. She's honestly a little bit more of a Vanilla Ice, I think, than a MIA.
Oh, that's not fair.
No, I mean, she's not going to have a lot of hits.
She didn't rip off Queen.
Okay, maybe Everlast. Maybe she's the Everlast.
See, that's fine. Everlast is fine. I like Everlast. Right. Not as Everlast, but as. And then, we have the Nine Inch Nails app for the iPhone, which, as far as I can tell, is still not out.
Right, which they're talking about.
It's been submitted.
And they're promoting it.
It's supposed to, but the thing is, you never know when these iPhone apps are going to get approved. But Reznor did have a really cool interview on Dig. You should check out a lot of it about the music industry and like what he's done and what he's doing and the fact that he funded this iPhone app and the fact that he funds his own website and questions about all the HD video they gave out to him, like they gave out to the fans to edit and stuff. I don't know. It's pretty interesting. What were you saying, Paul?
Matt being freaked out by his biceps.
The fact that, he looks like Henry Rollins now. He used to look like that skinny dude with long hair. Like, you knew that dude. And now he looks like Henry Rollins, which almost, like his giant arms.
He used to do a lot of cocaine apparently in the Marilyn Manson days, and that kept him very skinny. Yeah. So good to see him.
No, it's good if that's your thing that you do now rather than hard drugs is you work out. That's cool. But I was just shocked because I had not seen video of him obviously in a while.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
Exactly.
He's looking a lot kind of more like Glenn Danzig or.
Yeah, exactly.
Henry Rollins than Trent Reznor.
That's right.
And on Glenn Danzig, I think that's going to be the end of
thanks to Uvu for this show. Thanks to Uvu.
Thank you,
Check out Uvu at OOVOO.com. It'll be in the show notes and stuff, but it's also on the video if you're watching this in the video format.
That's right.
And stay tuned for next week. And if you have, if anyone's watching this and has feedback, send us feedback. The Uvu ID is Zebtron, Zebtron. So Zebtron on Uvu, and
King,
you can send us a video
King
message. Each of us has an email address. There's Matt@concastador.com, Paul@concastador, and Josh@concastador, if you want to email us individually. Any other email to that domain will get bounced away to Neverworld.
So you don't want to do that.
Not at all. All right, thanks for joining us. Take care and have a great whatever evening or morning or afternoon or whatever it is. Bye.